Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez alongside Gary D'Amato. No sponsor this week. We're in between sponsorships here and probably a good thing, but it gives us a time to put in a plug for the great work that our marketing lead, Megan Augustine, is doing. If you want to advertise on Wisconsin.Golf, all you have to do is reach out to Megan by email. It's M-E-G-A-N at KillarneyGolfMedia.com, and she can connect you with advertising options on our website, in our publications. Golf Time Midwest comes out twice a year, and of course, the Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, which was mailed out back in March. So M-E-G-A-N at KillarneyGolfMedia.com. Megan Augustine, our marketing specialist. Gary D'Amato alongside Rob Hernandez. Gary, it's Masters Hangover Week. No sponsor, no golf. The weather sucks. What can we possibly fill a podcast with today, right?
Well, we can talk about the wind for an hour if you want, Rob. It's just so nasty out yesterday and today. And we were talking before the podcast started about some high school golfers, and I cannot believe that they actually played meets yesterday and tournaments in that wind. It was just incredible.
Two tournaments did get played, one in its entirety, the Classic 8 Conference mini meet down at Morningstar. Heartland Arrowhead managed to shoot a 160 to defeat Kettle Moraine, the defending state champs, by five shots. Harrison Froling of Arrowhead, a 38, he edges teammate Peter Heidemann by one shot, and also Logan Suter of Oconomowoc, Tyler Schrader of McWanago, and Bodie King of Arrowhead. So five guys managed to break 40 in that wind over at Morningstar. And our friend from TMJ4 in Milwaukee, Susan Kim, her son Alex Koenig, playing for Kettle Moraine, shot a 41. And Susan posted a video and on Twitter. And if you like the sounds of wind, I'd go back and play it. You can fall asleep to that, man. That was some pretty strong wind. As you said, it's a surprise that she didn't get blown over in that stuff.
Yeah, you know, Rob, there was a gust, I think, at the airport, Milwaukee Airport, of 63 miles per hour. And it was a sustained 40 miles an hour yesterday with gusts into the 50s. I give those golfers a lot of credit for, I don't know how they kept the ball on the tee, honestly, and or how they kept it on the greens. It was brutal, the wind.
Well, and then one other tournament played, they got nine holes of the Monona Grove Invitational in over at the Oaks Golf Club in Cottage Grove. Five guys tied for first. They cut it to nine holes, and five guys managed to shoot 40 on the or four over par. It was a shotgun start, so you kind of, you know, catch as catch can in terms of which holes you got to play your nine holes in terms of par fives, par fours, par threes. But at plus four, Connor Brown of Stoughton, Brett Whelan of Milton, Lincoln Hopman of DeForest, Jacob Fredrickson of Monona Grove, and Charlie Bennett of Brookfield East tied for first at four over. Brookfield East, the team champion, at plus 27 by five shots over Milton. But Dan Zweifel, the coach of Monona Grove and a friend of podcast, by the way, he sent me a video last night of one of his golfers off in the right rough. He takes out a hybrid, puts the head cover on the ground, and all of a sudden it starts rolling across the rough like a tumbleweed, and he had to run after it. And that's how strong the wind was. You couldn't even keep the head cover on the ground without pinning it underneath your golf bag out there. That's crazy stuff.
Well, first of all, can you still hear me, Rob?
I can.
Okay, because I goofed up my phone and I thought I was having trouble getting it off mute. So I'm glad we're still a go. You could not pay me to play golf today, Rob. It was when I headed for the gym this morning, it was 35 degrees out and the wind blowing at 35 to 40. I mean, I don't know if anyone's playing golf today in the Milwaukee area, at least. Maybe in other parts of the state, the wind isn't quite as bad, but it's still cold. And the wind chill's had to be you know, around 20 degrees. So it was just, felt like a winter day.
Well, we're going to take a tour of the state here, thanks to our friends at weather.com. Over in the Madison area, currently, as we record the podcast mid-afternoon on a Friday, Verona at 40 with a feels-like temperature of 32. And they are looking at highs of 44, 47, 42 going in the next week. They'll hit 64 on Thursday of next week. So that might be the date you circle in terms of if you're making tee times up in the Green Bay area. As we record the podcast, 39 feels like 29. In Eau Claire, it is currently 34 feels like 25. No better there. And Wausau, 34. I'm sorry. Wausau is not loading up here because the last time I called it up, Gary, they not only had temperatures in the mid-30s with a similar 33 feels like 22, but they have a river flood warning along the Wisconsin. In my mom's hometown of Merrill, the Prairie River, which runs through the park and around the library behind the old high school, is, as it is often in the springtime, flooded way over its banks. So you've got pretty much everything Mother Nature could possibly throw at you. And it's, by the way, the 15th of April.
Well, I'll tell you, Rob, where I'd rather be. I'd rather be in Key West, where it's 84 and feels like 83 and a half. That's or in your neck of the woods. What, you know, why don't you torture us and tell us what kind of temperature you're having out there in the Phoenix area, Rob?
Well, I didn't want to bring that up. We're at 86 going to 88. We've got wispy white clouds that are kind of keeping that sunshine from really beating down on the golfers. I'm thinking if we can get this podcast recorded, uploaded, I might be able to get 9, maybe 18 in yet today, but this isn't bad. And we're supposed to get up in the 90s. Now, what I see of your weather from yesterday seems to be over in Hilton Head today, at the RBC Heritage. They had wind where, I mean, it looked like fall out there with the way the leaves, I don't know where they found leaves. I guess under the trees from the winter, they were blowing across the fairway. And the last time I checked, we had a 7-way tie for the lead atop the RBC Heritage leaderboard, including Eric Van Rooyen, who has Lake Geneva native Alex Goggard on the bag. Of course, Gary wrote about the two of them last week at the Masters. So, you know, the first week coming out of the Masters, Gary, it's hard to get back into it, isn't it?
It is, and especially when the weather's like it is around here. You know, we can live vicariously at least through the tour. And, yeah, I see that I'm calling up the scores now and seeing a lot of 72s and 4s and 5s. So it must be tough conditions out there. That's a great course, though, and they have a really strong field. Most of the top, you know, guys in the world, at the top of the world ranking are in this tournament this week.
Yeah, and I've been following, if you've been watching Golf Channel, there's a guy in the field named Morgan Hoffman who's playing for the first time since 2019.
Yeah.
And remind me again, coming back from a serious illness that where he's kind of traveled the world looking for a cure. And when he left the course today, he shot 71, 72, bogey the last hole each day. And he was he was 2-3 shots off the cut line. And now the projected cut's gone. He's one over after 36 holes. The cut's gone to even par. But for some reason, Gary, they're doing the top 65 in ties instead of, I always thought it was top 70. I guess they've changed that in recent years. And so he's currently T76. He's got 11 spots to go to get in the T65. So likely to miss the cut, but, you know, a good story there. I mean, he's got two more starts to try to retain his major medical exemption and seems to be healthy and in good spirits.
Yeah, that was a great story. I read it online. I forget who wrote it, but it was a marvelous story about just what he's gone through, what Morgan Hoffman's gone through the last few years. I think he has a form of a muscular dystrophy and his pec muscle sort of withered away to nothing. And he's been living in Costa Rica and getting into holistic medicine and natural, you know, natural medicines and just trying everything. And supposedly he stumbled upon some things that have really worked and he's fairly healthy again and wants to give the tour another shot. But he was I think Oklahoma State, really, really good player. And, you know, people predicted he was going to be a big winner on the tour. And then he was beset with this illness or this disease. And so it's great to see him back out there. And 71, 72 for your first event in a long time is pretty good.
Absolutely. So that's going on there. We had Casey Danielson playing on the LPGA Tour. I watched her on, it was a Wednesday start, Saturday finish this week on the LPGA. And she got in the broadcast window on day one and they had a nice little segment on her, her sister Lindsay and brother Charlie. And Unfortunately, at the time she was one under, finished 74 that day, 76, I believe it was yesterday, missed the cut by a couple, but showing progress, I think, and just, again, it was fun to kind of sort of squint in there and look at her as she was coming off the green, looking for that Wisconsin.golf logo on her collar too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's tough, you know, getting out there your rookie year. And I think, you know, once she makes the cut, I think it's going to snowball and she's probably going to start making them regularly. I think getting over the hump and making that first cut, that's got to be really difficult. But yeah, I think once she makes the cut or two, she's going to be off to the races. I think she's, you know, she just has to believe in herself and believe that she can do it, and because she's got all the physical talent in the world.
So as we kind of look ahead here, well, first of all, how did you got back to Milwaukee? And was it Monday or Tuesday?
I got back Tuesday, Rob. I actually stopped at our good friend Brendan Sweeney helped me with a room at French Lick Resort, and I played the Pete Dye course on Tuesday morning, which is one of the toughest golf courses you'll ever play. It's a brutal test. Played with another guy, a guy from Korea. We had a great time. And there was a college tournament going on, the D3 Showcase at French Lick. It was being played on the other course, the Ross course. And I ran into a bunch of the players in the lobby. They were staying in my hotel and chatted a lot of them up. And boy, what an impressive group of young men. It just, it restores your faith in, you know, what golf can do for, as I tweeted, what golf can do for and to young men.
Absolutely. And coincidentally, then not long after you left French Lick, you let me know that you had found out that the University of Wisconsin has two grad transfers coming to the program this fall. One of them was probably in the lobby, Max Schwartz out of Emory University in Georgia. Max finished T36. He's the number one golfer on the second ranked Division III college golf team in the country right now in Emory. And they finished T6 at that. There were, as Gary said, nationally ranked teams from all over the country in the 20-team field. But we just posted a story to Wisconsin.golf within the last hour as we record the podcast. The other young man coming to Madison is actually, it's a homecoming of sorts. Davidson senior Clayton Tribute is coming back to Wisconsin. He spent his freshman and part of his sophomore year at Edgewood High School, was the number six man on the 2015 Edgewood team that finished second to Lodi at the state tournament, and then spent a couple years down at IMG Academy, got a scholarship offer. The Davidson has had four great years there, and now thanks to COVID extra eligibility is coming back to the Badgers. And I had a chance to talk to Mike Wilson about it, a chance to talk to Clayton about it. It's a dream come true for Clayton, Gary, because, you know, this was a kid who really, you know, didn't get much notice while he was in high school, kind of fell off the radar locally at IMG, but then, you know, got on the radar at IMG, because that's kind of what happens when you go to down there, and managed to get an opportunity at Davidson, and has certainly made the most of it. Started out at the number five spot and won a college tournament his freshman year at the Pinehurst Intercollegiate, and most recently finished T3 at a tournament, I believe it was the Peachtree Invitational. I'll take a look at that. But with rounds of 74, 68, 66, I believe it was, and really just 71, 68, 66, Irish Creek Intercollegiate, and he will lead Davidson into the Atlantic 10 Conference Championships in 2 weeks down in Orlando. The Wildcats, the defending champion, of course, in the A-10. You win the tournament, much like the Big East with Marquette and the Big Ten with Wisconsin. You win the tournament, you go to the NCAA Regionals. So two really great pickups for the Badgers. And I don't know what you think about the transfer portal, Gary, but Mike Wilson, I think, has found two really solid golfers to add to the roster for next year.
It sure sounds that way, Robin. And he actually, he needs some good talent coming in, because he's losing some talent going out on the other side. Among them, Griffin Borrello, who's had a really, really wonderful career at Wisconsin. Robbie Morway, another guy we've written about in the past, who had some injuries, but, you know, came on strong toward the end of his career and really has helped the Badgers. So, yeah, there's some talent that Coach Wilson's going to lose. So to get these guys coming in is, offsets that for sure.
They also have three freshmen coming in, two ranked in the top 200 in the country, and they will have an impact. I think by the time the dust all settles on the roster, Gary, he'll have 12 guys. And I was watching the Western Intercollegiate this week, and Pepperdine, the defending national champion, is only carrying six this year. So, you know, different schools of thought. Mike Wilson, four of the guys in the lineup have been in, at every tournament. Barella, Robbie Morway, I believe it's Coulter Smith, and boy, who's the other one? I'll take a look at that.
Are you talking Cameron Huss, maybe?
Cameron Huss. Don't let Cameron know I forgot that name. But he was really looking at, as all coaches do, you know, it's great to have a solid lineup, but, you know, he's also worried that, you know, about the top four guys getting complacent too. And I think there isn't a coach in the country that really doesn't welcome competition within the team. In fact, Clayton Tribue said at Davidson, the qualifying pressure at Davidson is night and day what it was his freshman year. Also, his scores are night and day better than they were his freshman year. There's a correlation there. And I think, you know, right now, I think Mike Wilson's looking to see if quantity is going to induce some quality and build out that competition to maybe 7, 8, or 9 deep. He rotated a bunch of guys in at the five position this year and at the individual spot that he would take to tournaments, but still not, you know, quite to where they need to be. So we'll see if that works.
Yeah, I know Mike's philosophy definitely is to build competition from within. It makes, it'll make his golfers better when they go out and compete against other schools and other golfers. And, you know, Cameron Huss and Griffin Barella sort of went at it, you know, in a friendly rivalry because they're on the same team, obviously, but they went at it tooth and nail, and both golfers got better because of it, I think. And that's what all coaches, and in this case, especially Coach Wilson, are looking for.
And for a while there, I believe coming into the spring, they both came in, you know, top 75 in the country, you know, in Division I in the GolfSat rankings. So again, they've become better because of each other. I know Mike is eager to see, you know, how it's all going to translate in 2 weeks at the Big Ten Championships out in Pittsburgh. But, you know, right now, they're at French Lick, the women out at Pittsburgh. And so I think right now he feels pretty good about it. What I was curious, Gary, what do you think of the transfer portal? Mike and I had a really nice conversation about that when I talked to him yesterday. You know, he sees it changing over the next couple of years as kids that have been in college during COVID and had those 1 to 2 years of extra eligibility. You know, once they've cycled out, he thinks it'll be more like normal transfers. I mean, the two guys he's got coming in, Clayton Tribue and Max Schwartz, are both grad transfers. Clayton's going to do a business analyst analysis graduate program that, you know, only covers 3 semesters. So, you know, he'll be able to get a master's degree and play golf. I think that's a win-win, and we're seeing a lot of that. But I just think the transfer portal is here to stay. It's too easy not to go in there and see, you know, what names you see, and then do a little research and see what they're doing at the college level versus, you know, the immense development some of these kids coming out of high school still need, unless you're a Pearson Hunt or Harrison Ott.
Yeah, no, look, you know, it's a great opportunity for these golfers to continue their collegiate careers, and it's a great opportunity for a younger coach or a newer coach like Coach Wilson coming into a program to look around and see what he can get to bolster recruiting classes. So yeah, I think it's here to stay too.
And so we'll continue to monitor that. I know Clayton Tribue said that his grad program starts in August, so he's looking at probably playing the Ray Fisher, U.S. Amateur qualifying, the State Am, and maybe an event or two, or a Monday qualifier or two on the Corn Ferry or Canadian Tour, that kind of thing. So, you know, he wants to be ready to go and take advantage of that that 1 year that he'll get. Interestingly, as we talk about the Badgers, they are currently in the third day of qualifying for the Big Ten tournament, internal qualifying. And I got to tip the cap to Mike Wilson. He's putting it out there for everybody to see. They're on round one, they went to Bergamont in Oregon. He said he's never felt so much wind as he did at Bergamont on, I believe that was Thursday. Yesterday on Friday, they were at, that was Wednesday, was at Bergamont. Thursday at University Ridge. Friday today, they're at Blackhawk Country Club. And currently Cam Huss, 2 under par on the day, 3 over for the week. He leads by 2 shots over Griffin Burrell and Jacob Beckman, kind of a home game for Beckman playing at Blackhawk Country Club, the freshman out of Middleton. Daniel, the transfer who came in at semester, 3 under for the day. He's 7 over. He's been a welcome addition. Then Nick Robinson, I got to take a look if that's if because both Nick and we've got one Robinson who's serving as a volunteer assistant coach, Gary, and so I got to look that up. But what do you think of having those qualifying scores out there for the world to see?
It's pretty interesting. Little additional pressure, but those scores, Rob, in this wind, I mean, that's very impressive. To shoot, you know, anything around even par on a day like today or a day like yesterday is beyond impressive.
So Nick Robinson is a volunteer grad assistant coach. So he sneaks in there with the five spot, but he cannot tee it up at the Big Ten. So Graham Moody currently 500 on the day through 13 holes. I had a chance to see Graham Moody play at Blackhawk Country Club last summer during the Balance and Believe Invitational. So Graham's taken a couple of tours with Jacob Beckman over that course. And then Robbie Morway at four over plus 12 for the week. Coulter Smith even today plus 16. He had a tough round yesterday at University of Ridge shooting 86. But I think Mike even tweeted out some video from there. And it was no better than what we saw at the Oaks for that MG Invitational or down at Morningstar for the Classic 8 mini meet. I like the idea of putting it out there for everybody to see because it gets people talking. And honestly, if I'm a high school recruit, I'm looking at that and saying, you know, everyone has their bad day. How do you respond from it? And I think as college coaches are looking at leaderboards like this, that's what they're also looking for. You know, everybody thinks that you're looking for, you know, can Gary D'Amato shoot 68, 68, 64? No, they're looking. We're looking to see what happens when Gary D'Amato shoots 68, 94. What happens after that 94? You know, and if he can come back with a 70 or better, give him the scholarship, I say.
Well, the 94 is very, very distinctly possible. The 68 is about 12 strokes out of my reach, Rob. So, and besides, I don't have, I guess I would have eligibility. Yeah. So, yeah, if there's a coach out there looking for a guy who shoots around 88, you know, hey, I'm available.
Your eligibility left long ago when you teed up at Whitewater. That's when the meters started ticking there.
Yeah, I was, as we've talked about, I was a member of the team for 1 year and never played in the meet and didn't even go out my sophomore year because I knew I had absolutely no chance. So, but I had 1 year of semi glory.
There was a pre-qualifier for the Valero Texas Open this week, apparently. And if that's even possible, I guess it is. Monday Q Info Twitter account had screenshot of the scorecard, 65 on the front nine, 70 on the back, Gary.
And that's for who?
That was for a pre-qualifier for the Valero Texas Open. So there are people out there trying to flail away shooting scores like you and I would.
Yeah. Now, 65, I'm missing the context of this. 65 is the 18 hole score.
No, 65 was the 9-hole score. And then 70 on the back nine. There was everything from a 3 to a 13 on the card. And I thought the best response to that was shot 65 on the front, was only two shots out of a 4-for-1 playoff for the last spot, and then I had to play the back nine.
Wow. Reminds me of the story of this movie that's coming out, Phantom of the Open, about a guy named Morris Fitcroft, who I don't know if you've heard about this, Rob, but he was a shipyard worker in the UK, and he read about Open qualifying for the Open Championship. He had never played golf in his life, and he tried to qualify for the British Open and shot just a million. You know, he didn't know what he was doing. He couldn't hit a shot at all, and it's a movie that's coming out, I think, in a few weeks. They're called. It's a comedy, The Phantom of the Open. So that'll be one to put on your radar to watch.
I love it. There's a couple of good golf movies out. A guy who was an actor in two of my favorite shows, Without a Trace and Nashville, doing a story. And I can't remember what the title of it is, but The Mulligan. And I think it was maybe from hearing what they had to say about it on Golf Channel this week, it might have to do with a second chance in a career, or if you had a chance to have a mulligan in a golf career, what, you know, how would you use it, that kind of thing. So, and because that's what prompted the, you know, if anybody needed a mulligan on 2022, Gary, who would it be? Of course, Phil Mickelson would probably top of that list, and Bryson DeChambeau, who now just had wrist surgery and is out possibly through the PGA. Might be another, because after, the way he finished last year, you really thought it was going to be a banner 2022 for him. But we could all use a mulligan here and there.
Yeah, we, Bryson probably shouldn't have even tried to tee it up in the Masters, saying he was 80%. And I don't think he was even close to 80%. So common sense prevailed, and he had the surgery. And, let's hope that he heals quickly and fine and comes back and is a force again on the tour, because he's fun to watch.
So as we wrap up our conversation about college golf here on Talking.Golf, conference championships starting at the Division II level earlier this week. Our friend Chris Cola out of Fond du Lac, out at Chico State, fifth-year senior out there, 81-75-77, finished 29th. Chico State rallied to finish second. They had a tough opening round of 314. Then they go 293-288 and finish 10 shots behind Sonoma State. They wait now, Garrett, to find out if they will get an at-large berth to the NCAA Division II regionals. Division I and II have regionals. Division III, you qualify based on your conference championship, automatic qualifying for those teams that win, and then a select number of at-large berths for independents like UW-Eau Claire, UW-Stout, and also for teams that come from deep conferences. A few more on the men's side than the women. They play two courses at their national tournament. So we've got that starting. We also have a tournament going on this week, the Great Lakes Intercollegiate with UW Parkside. The Rangers, I believe last time I looked at the bottom of the standings there after one round, and Davenport in first, Logan Pachinski of Stevens Point, the number five golfer at Davenport, and also the Northern Sun Intercollegiate going on. And that's most of the Minnesota schools, Upper Iowa, and a couple schools from the Dakotas. And Concordia St. Paul was second after one day. Hunter Robinson out of Balsam Lake, T18, after a round of 77. It's fun for me, Gary, I don't know about you, to sit there and look at all the conference tournaments. It's almost golf's version of March Madness with the AQs and the punching your ticket to the big dance. And I think regionals are just as exciting at Division I and II as for some programs as getting to the national championship. But it all, and as I talked to Mike Wilson, lamenting the fact that here we are middle of April and his conference tournament's 2 weeks away, and we're still not even in the kind of weather that you can have productive practice outside. That spring season is just such a it goes by in a hurry.
It does, and yeah, you're right, Rob. We're less than a couple of weeks away from both the Big Ten and the Big East, and to your point about March Madness equivalent, Coach Steve Bailey at Marquette invited me to the watch party when after they won the Big East a couple of years ago, and we're waiting to see where they'd go for regionals. They met at the golf practice facility, that Marquette's new facility, which is tremendous, right on campus there. And when they found out where they were going, the whoops and cheers, it reminds me of watching a basketball watch party. So it was pretty cool.
And we got a lot of golfers to look at from coast to coast. Earlier this week, Blake Wisdom earned Patriot League Golfer of the Week honors for his runner-up finish at a tournament at the Steel Club. I believe that was out there in Pennsylvania, the Coca-Cola Collegiate Challenge. And then Mia Seaman, out of Milton, playing at South Dakota State. She won a tournament down in Omaha where UW Green Bay finished third. That was another one, Gary, where the weather was wild. Brad Kalka, Ashley's dad, went down there expecting 75-degree weather, at least for the second day. And it finally came as the teams were wrapping up earlier in the day when they played. It was still 45 or 50 and windy. And it's a true test of apparel this year, because it's how much, how many layers can you handle before you totally lose your swing?
Yeah. A polo shirt, a sweater, a windbreaker, and maybe a rain jacket on some days. And then you feel, you're like an Eskimo. You can't hardly swing the golf club. But having said that, Rob, apparel's come a long way, and they've got some great, all the companies have great stuff out that's really thin and pliable, and you can swing in it. But it's got to be tough when you're layered up like that to you can't feel your hands, and you've got hand warmers in your pockets. Just tough conditions.
I'm a big fan, I don't know about you, Gary, of the Scotty Scheffler vest.
Yeah, taking it on and off between. Yeah, that seemed to work from that little puffy vest he had on. Yeah, taking it off between shots or putting it on between shots and then taking it off to hit the ball and hurriedly putting it back on. That's if you don't mind the, you know, taking it on and off and, you know, going through that sort of process on every shot, that's a good way to do it.
To our point from last week's podcast, Gary, you would have thought that after taking a sleeveless vest on and off so many times, that that left arm would have gone right in the old green jacket very much easier than it did.
Yeah, he struggled to put the jacket on. You know, it was fun to watch, though. He's he had that goofy little grin on his face. He's, as we talked about last week, he's so relatable. That four putt on the 72nd green, you know, luckily he had the giant lead or the huge lead or that could have been troublesome, but he just kind of laughed it off and we sort of laughed with him. It was fun to see.
You're listening to Talking.Golf here on Wisconsin.Golf, Talking.Golf. Without a sponsor this week, we thank Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield for their sponsorship of the podcast. And we'll unveil a new podcast sponsor here in a couple weeks as we hit the month of May. And but in the meantime, if you or your company is interested in advertising or promotional opportunities through Wisconsin.Golf, Golf Time Midwest Magazine, or the Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, feel free to reach out to Megan Augustine, our marketing director, Megan at KillarneyGolfMedia.com. Megan spelled M-E-G-A-N at KillarneyGolfMedia.com. Gary, we're kind of at a loss here. I don't know, you know, we're looking forward. I know that I said that the, you know, the temperature should be nice by Thursday of next week. What are you looking forward to most as we go between now from the Masters to the PGA Championship, the next major on the calendar? What is Gary D'Amato looking at in the golf world as far as looking ahead?
Well, personally, I'm hopefully the weather gets better in a couple of weeks, Rob, because I'm playing in that Mac Fun's 100-hole marathon at the Bog again. I do not want to do that in I do not want to be on the golf course for 10 hours if it's going to be 38 degrees out. Hopefully by then we're going to have some good weather. But I'm looking forward to the conference tournaments with Wisconsin and Marquette. And then, you know, May 2nd, I believe, is the Tournament of Champions up at Sheboygan Riverdale that sort of kicks off the competitive season. That's only a couple of weeks away. May 11th, U.S. Open local qualifying up at Wild Rock. And then, boom, we're into the competitive golf season. And that's I can't wait for that.
And to that point, in last week's Sweet Spot, Gary had the link to the registration for the Tournament of Champions up at Riverdale in Sheboygan. Defending champ, our friend Mike Bilowski. If that's not incentive enough to sign up, Gary, take a shot at Bilo. Knock him off his throne, I say.
Yeah, or five-time champion Tom Halla, the landing cannon. You know, that tournament gets a really good field. Gregorski's won it a couple times, I think. Mark Bilowski won it. Archie Dadian's won it. Some of the legends of Wisconsin golf have teed it up in that tournament and walked away with the trophy.
I was given the list of past champions. I believe Manuel De La Torre, five-time state open champion, was the first Tournament of Champions.
Wow.
Way back, I want to say 1950. But again, as I've proven on this podcast multiple times in this little brief point, my memory, not what it used to be. I can't pull things out of thin air anymore, Gary.
Well, you remembered Manuel De La Torre. That's pretty good. Yeah, that tournament has really had a great list of champions. And I know it's been played in some horrible weather some years. So, you know, we can cross our fingers and hope they're going to get at least 60 degrees that day.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting back to normal with the high school season and posting some results, because I tell you, between course openings high school tournament results, you know, for about a week and a half there, we were going great guns. And to the point where even, you know, courses in Door County were starting to open. And we still don't have any in the Northwoods. That little area of the state is still void of anything. And from what I saw, somebody just got back from Phoenix to Saner, Wisconsin, home of the nine-hole gem that is Plum Lake Golf Course. It's going to be a couple weeks there because they've got an ample amount of snow on the ground there overnight. And but, you know, I'd like to see it just, boy, the high school season's so short as it is. And to see what they played in yesterday, if they don't get a pretty steady stream of 60 to 70 degree weather from the end of April through May and into the state tournament, I'm going to be disappointed. And so we're going to pull for that.
Yeah, you won't be the only one who's disappointed, Rob. There's a lot of young golfers who are going to be disappointed if they don't get at least a couple 70-degree days between now and the end of the season.
And then, of course, you know, we go into the summer months, and another thing Mike Wilson told me, and Mike's gotten, you know, fully invested in junior golf in Wisconsin, and he's sitting on the WPGA Junior Foundation board, and heard from, I believe, Andy Landenberger that over 1,000 different junior golfers have signed up for tournaments this summer. And, you know, and Mike coming from, you know, down in the South at UAB, he's not aware of any state around that has that many junior golfers. That's a tip of the cap to what they've built here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, no question. The WPGA, Andy Landenberger, Erica, that whole crew, from top to bottom, they've done a great job. We talk about it a lot, Robin. It's not like we're, you know, we're kissing butt. It's the WSGA, our state golf association, and the WPGA section, one of the best of the 41 sections in the country, and as far as running tournaments, and the WSGA is just as good. And we hear it from people who come from other states or play in other states and talk about the comparison, and they say there's no comparison. Our organizations in our state are tops at running golf tournaments.
So we've got the Clayton Tribune story up on Wisconsin.golf. Next week, we'll write a couple more recruiting stories. One for sure on Caden Nam out of Minocqua, the top-ranked boy in our junior or our senior class on the Wisconsin.golf class of 2022 rankings. Verbally committed this week to the University of South Carolina Aiken, a Division II school. And you know, this is a kid who, you know, is a product of the drive, chip, and putt national finals. And he made sure and let me know that Aiken, only a half hour's drive from Augusta National. So clearly, you talk about the impact of drive, chip, and putt. I mean, you know, you go someplace, see how nice it is at that time of year, you want to go back.
I wonder if South Carolina Aiken has a home game. I'm not sure Augusta hosts any college tournaments. I don't think they do, but they might extend playing privileges occasionally to schools in the area. I really don't know, but I would think, you know, knowing the membership at Augusta National, that would be something they would do, because they're, you know, they've certainly opened up their club in many different ways, you know, with the Asia amateur and Latin American amateur tournaments, and those winners getting in the Masters. They've got a lot of women members now. A lot of people say it's overdue, but maybe they open their course to some of the schools in the area, and Augusta State and South Carolina A can get to play some a little bit on Augusta National. I don't know.
All right, you're a glutton for punishment, Gary, sitting there in the cold weather that you are. You made me look at the South Carolina Aiken schedule. Don't tell me, don't say you weren't warned that this was not a good idea for you. Okay, they don't go to Augusta National, but here's where they do go. Kiowa Island, they open the season at this year. Let's see here. Charleston, South Carolina, the Daniel Island Collegiate. Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. They hosted their own tournament in Aiken, the Cleveland Golf Palmetto Intercollegiate, and they've gone to Lenora City, Tennessee, Eaton, Georgia, Spartanburg, South Carolina, and they will wrap up the season with the Peach Belt Conference Championship at St. Simon's Island, Georgia. Now, there's a couple of destination sites in there, Gary, that, while not Augusta National, you might turn that car around and go there right now.
No kidding, Rob. Those are some great golf destinations. I've been lucky enough to play on St. Simon's Island, and there's two or three fantastic courses there. And then Hilton Head. I mean, you don't need to say nothing more about Hilton Head. It's one of the best stops on the PGA Tour. So, yeah, Caden's going to be have a lot of fun, I think, over the next 4 years.
And I'm curious here, the Division II Men's National Tournament this year is in Detroit at the TPC Dearborn, TPC Michigan in Detroit. So I'm not sure if that's the same as the TPC Dearborn. Can you have more than two TPC courses in one place? I'm not sure you can.
I don't think so. It must be one and the same. Yeah.
So not too shabby either. And again, the courses these kids can play on, Augusta, Georgia does host a number of college tournaments because of Augusta College. I know that, you know, Pearson Hunt played in one. I believe you ran into a family that saw Pearson. You didn't see Pearson at Augusta, but apparently he was on the grounds on Monday. So, you know, there are a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. If they can't play at Augusta, I'm sure that the I'm quite certain that the club would extend, you know, patron badges so that some of those college golfers can get in there and watch. And yeah, the Getzkis, the family, their, you know, their son Cody competed in the drive, chip and putt national finals. And they told me they ran into Pearson on the course, and they know him because they're members of Legends clubs, and they see Pearson around a lot.
Well, I tell you what, Gary, let's kill this podcast, file it in the memory banks, hoping that we never have to talk about weather again. Can we make a deal?
Only if we can talk about weather if it's nice. How about that?
There you go. I like that idea. I like that.
All right.
Gary, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time.
Okay, Rob. Thank you.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, I am Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And don't forget, if you want to advertise or promote your business service, whether it be golf related or not, just reach out to our own Megan Augustine, our marketing director. It's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at KillarneyGolfMedia.com. And she can set you up with all kinds of options on our website at Wisconsin.Golf. Of course, our twice a year publication, Golf Time Midwest, and our annual publication, the Wisconsin.Golf Yearbook. That's Megan Augustine, M-E-G-A-N, at KillarneyGolfMedia.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.